Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to the WordPress Way, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! Hey, Bob WP. Yes, it's me. You're probably wondering what I'm doing here on the WordPress Way, DEIB. And you decided to do something a little bit different this month. That doesn't mean that you are going to be missing our wonderful host that is usually here, Birgit. But we thought this time let's learn about Birgit. I mean, I've had a few hosts on different shows, and we've learned more about their journey, and it's always fun, and I'll probably even learn things I don't know. So I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, Birgit is here. Hello, Birgit. How you doing?
Hello, Bob. I'm doing fine. Thanks. And thanks for sharing the idea or turning tables. It's interesting.
It's fun. It's always fun. I did that in the very early years when we had like three co-hosts. I did a kind of a highlight. I called it Unplugged. Each one of them unplugged, and we just kind of went through their own story and learned a little bit more about them. So I'm excited for it. And I think the best way to start it is everybody's always curious, especially some people you know because you've heard it so many times. But I don't even know if I have heard how you got into WordPress or what kind of drove you to WordPress. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that is kind of funny, but also interesting. For those who don't know me yet, especially or didn't see, I'm a white woman, almost 50 years now, and I'm a mom of five almost grown-up children, and I also have already two grandchildren. And my ex-husband, back in the days, was a truck driver, so I was over the weekdays alone with all our children. So, and when my children went to bed, I had a lot of time to spend. So, and I was always a curious person, and I learned about computers back in school, and I went to a business school and learning about Word, Excel, bookkeeping, all the stuff. And when we got our first personal computer, I was always in. And then when we got internet, I was sucked in. It opened a new realm to my perception. So I need to preface this a little bit because it's kind of funny. Imagine a woman breastfeeding one of their children, sitting next to a computer in a chat room and talking about family stuff. And someone shared a link to a personal website. And I was so stoked about that. I was so curious. Oh, I want to build websites myself. How does it function? I'm always a person who wants to look behind the curtains and how things work. So, and then I went down to this rabbit hole, learning about HTML, how to build websites with iframes and tables. So crazy. And no, none of that websites are alive anymore. So I can't share it with the world today. But yeah, and so pivoting from HTML, and then you have to change everything. When you want to change, you have to change the navigation on every page when you build it in classic HTML, and so on and so on. And I was tired of that. So how can I get dynamic data into? So I learned about PHP and some frameworks and how to do that. And somehow I stumbled upon Typeform and B2 Coffee Log back in the day. Mm. And I was like, very interesting. You can publish something and put it in a world without worrying about to change any hard-coded links to something. And so I played with that. And then I learned about that B2 Coffee Log will be discontinued because and it was forked by someone and called it WordPress. And I was one of the persons who installed WordPress on their web servers from this first release. So, and yeah, and that I played around. I wasn't really serious about it yet back in the day. But in 2005, I was asked to build a website for someone. I didn't use WordPress for building websites, just playing and fiddling around with my personal project. But then I started to get self-employed as a side hustle to be more legal and serious about it. And I'm self-employed since then.
Oh, wow.
Always as a side hustle. I learned more about website building, and I didn't have the chance to go to some form of a professional training. It's everything I know today, I taught myself. Do scrolling through internet, self-html.de was one of my places. And I learned a lot about just asking questions and checking other blog posts. And then when YouTube was a thing and started to be a thing, I learned about that. I also experienced with Joomla, Drupal, Typo3, which is more popular in Germany and so on. I also managed, in one time I was working with a company, a primary direct marketing with call center and address data management and so on. And I went on a day, I went to my boss and told them our website is a sucker. It doesn't look really good. And he told me, okay, come up with a new concept. And I did it in 1 week. And then I founded the web design department in that company.
Wow.
I pivoted from a mom with 5 children learning HTML and designing websites in the afternoon and when the kids are asleep or something, to running a web design department in a small business company. We had around 150 employees back in the day. So building websites and also later building apps and using WordPress as a data management backend when REST API got a thing. I'm more a form of a generalist because I have multiple interests. Maybe my neurodivergent traits come into place on that. But on the other hand, it's ongoing consistency in my life, building websites and fiddling around with new stuff and maybe sometimes running after the new shiny objects. So I'm kind of a victim of this shiny objects syndrome. But yeah, on the other hand, it's always sparking new ideas and so on. And that is how I came to WordPress. And then I was building websites, and then I found a theme framework called the Extreme Theme, which was utilizing back in the day the JAML CSS framework. It's like today, the Bootstrap or Tailwind CSS frame, but JAML was the other part. And it's kind of a page builder theme back in the day. And I was really interested in that, founded by a German WordPress engineer. He unfortunately passed away too early back in the years. But I was part of the forums members. But we grew a friendship over that. And someday he talked about, oh, I'm going to a WordCamp in Berlin and you need to come. And was, I'm a girl, rural area in Western Germany, and I have 5 children. I don't go to a big city like Berlin. But I somehow managed to go to this WordCamp, and I met with the people I adored back in the day. People who run blogs like Frank Bülke, co-founder of Site. And I learned that those people are normal people like you and me. But somehow, back in the day, I put people on a pedestal because I look up to them. But on the other hand, it was really good. And this stoked me with the WordPress community. This was my first encounter. And this was 2010.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and I was infected by the WordPress event virus. I needed to go to WordCamps. So, and then I learned about, oh, you can contribute to WordPress, to the project, and you can help with that. And so we grew, and 2011 was my next WordCamp in Cologne, which is more nearby my hometown. But also 2011 was one of a big pivot year in my personal life, because I finally separated from my then husband, leaving a toxic marriage. And then I lost a good friend of mine due to cancer in the same year, 2 years ago, 2 years earlier than my mom died. So there was so much going on in my life. But always WordPress and building websites was always a consistent pillar in my life. And then I met with Robert Windisch. You know him, the man with the hat, the other hat, together. And Robert was also one of the founding partners of a site back in the day called ImSite. And in 2009, I specialized in training to WordPress instead of just building websites. And I run these individual trainings for small business owners and small companies and so on. And I joined forces with them in 2012, first as a self-employed contract trainer. And later, they took the leap and employed me in a part-time job. And then one of the first tasks when I'm not training, I should have maintained the translations for WordPress in German. So for those who don't know how that works, I need to go that, because it's really important. The agency site was founded because of some people who joined forces in translating WordPress. Back in the days, was translating in the code. Can you imagine translating and changing original code? It's a no-go today. So for everyone who doesn't know, don't work and edit core software. And they started a community forum, and over that, they grew in getting asked for contracts and so on and so on. And they built a company. And that is a long time ago. But over the years, they always maintained the German translation for WordPress in two variants. One is the informal, it's the default version, but also the formal translation for formal speech. In Germany, we have two different forms of that. So it means you need to maintain two language sets. And we, back in the day, we also needed to alter some files of the core software before we could release a German language pack and a German compiled version. And when I started translating WordPress as, back in the day, employee from ImSite or NowSite, I learned how to compile WordPress. And then I imagine, no? A tired Birgit, kids in bed asleep, and sitting there waiting in the IRC chat room for WordPress core to get the announcement that a new version was released, because then I needed to go to compile the translation files I prepared and tested beforehand with the original file, and then go to the backend of de.wordpress.org and compile a package and then push the button for release. So imagine this kind of sweating, dripping experience in the middle of the night, because the majority of the developers were sitting in US-based, more in San Francisco. So the time zone shift to Germany was a thing.
Yeah.
So it's got easier over the years. But this experience, and giving the natural curiosity which comes with my neurodivergent traits, was always leading the path where I'm currently now. So contributing to WordPress and building communities, fostering relationships. So 2013, when Remp Christopher and Zé Fontenasse founded the WordCamp Europe. This was my first international WordCamp.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2013, 11 years ago. And that opened another gate. So, ooh. So in 2014, I was privileged with the Travel Assistance Program, or I learned about the Travel Assistance Program for the Community Summit. And I traveled to the WordCamp San Francisco and Community Summit in 2014. This was my first touchdown on US soil. That's crazy. It's so crazy. And given the fact that I, as a mom of five children, divorced back in 2014, I was just joining a new partnership after 3 years of being a single parent and leaving my children. Okay, the majority was already older now, but my youngest was 8.5 years. My youngest back in 2014. And then also being a person with mobility issues, it is kind of challenging to travel internationally. But yeah. But this is a backstory of how I got involved with WordPress and how I started contributing to WordPress and in love with the community. I really felt because I care a lot about the people. And that brings me to the days today, why I'm so advocating for diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, because I come from a position where I had to think about how can I feed my children the next day. So, low income because of different circumstances, having a part-time job over all the years, not filling the fridge, and dealing with toxic marriage and so on, and getting no child support and all the stuff. I know how it feels to be not that privileged, even if I'm living in a privileged country. Yeah, I live in Germany. I'm in a pretty safe space. We have a decent healthcare system. But still, given of that, I see a lot of injustice, and where I see injustice, I am going to fight for that. I try to be the voice for those who can't raise their voices, even if it's someone who's introverted or don't know where to speak or who to speak with to change things. A good friend of mine, Alain Schlesser, you may also know, phrased it, I'm some kind of an overarching glue to all within the community, because as someone who is a generalist and not a specialist in a certain area, I know a lot, but on the surface, but only on certain areas, I'm more like a dive deep. But yeah, so that is helping to connect. I'm more the person who connects others, and that is why I'm advocating so much. And I'm also not shy to speak out when I see there's injustice, but I also try to consider and to not to dive into some kind of drama, even if I see drama unfold on socials like Twitter or Exler, how it's called today. I try to find all voices within this drama and see, okay, what is this side? What is this side? Where do we have some kind of overlap? And then I try to be constructive with my feedback. So I don't want to fuel the fire, but not shutting down the fire, but giving them a direction in a productive way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is why I'm always asking to have some kind of an overview above the organization of the WordPress open source ecosystem, how we can make sure that everyone is treated equally, that everyone gets the same chance, even if they don't have the same starting point. So especially WordPress as an open source system. And when you see, I'm with WordPress since its first release, I saw a lot progress, but still we have so many areas where you don't have to know how to code. And that is not that obvious. But on the other hand, it's also not so attractive for some companies to put money on those areas of the WordPress ecosystem, where it's also a lot of work to do. And since I'm thinking about this accessibility team, which makes sure that the software project and everything, issues like needing to use assistive technology, but also for someone with neurodivergency, is the UX self-explanatory and so on. The next part is documentation. How many contributors do we have which are sponsored to document our fast-pacing software development? But also community and making sure that like areas like the DEIB within WordPress, so that the DEIB principles can be applied in the daily work, of the majority of people are volunteers. So they don't get some formal training on how to behave, even if it might be common sense in certain areas of the world to treat people nicely, kindly. We have a worldwide project, which also has a lot of different cultures and history, and see the diversity not only in the color of the skin, diversity is also the diverse range of age, the diverse range of knowledge where people are coming from. So when I compare myself with a core developer who got some formal training on the MIT, for instance, so I can't compare myself. It's because I'm on a self-education. But on the other hand, I have traits and knowledge in other areas where we can combine those and create a better experience for everyone. So, and yeah, it's a long story to share.
A lot to unpack there. And one of the interesting things, you went through a lot of different phases, touched on a lot of different things there. No wonder we connected so well. You and I have so many similarities, just not in timeline, but in attitude, in how we feel about things. I think of you started with the first release, and I started, like you, just dabbling in 2006. And the interesting thing with me was I'd already been doing marketing, running a marketing company for 17 years prior to WordPress. And in the, I believe it was, I don't know if it was the mid or late 80s, I took a year of computer programming because I thought I needed to learn this. So I spent a year learning COBOL, assembly language, Fortran, and BASIC. And it was absolutely a nightmare to me, this stuff. I mean, I was fascinated by computers. I loved doing what I could do. But getting inside of them, opposite of you, just, it was fearful. It was like, whoa. But having done that got me very comfortable with computers too, which I don't regret spending that year because it just felt like I got it more than some people. And unlike you, I went in, you know, kicking and screaming into any kind of building sites. I doing HTML, just horrible flash sites for a couple of clients because I knew I had to get into it, owning a marketing and design business, because I'd been doing print design for so many years. But when I found WordPress in 2006 and started playing with it, it was mostly around the blogging part that fascinated me because I was already into content. My wife was already doing stuff on Typepad, and she had an award-winning blog way back in the days. And I discovered WordPress as a rescue for me. It was like, wow, I can build a site using one of these themes. I got a theme from iThemes, one of their early on themes, shortly after they started. And I built our own little brochure site. And I thought, wow, this thing actually looks professional now and I can make changes. So I was forced into it, not so much ever really wanting to dive in. I was curious about the code, but not so curious as to wanting to do it yet. I'll leave that to the other people that want to do that and are good at it. But, you know, just all the things. My first WordCamp was in 2010, San Francisco. A lot of similarities. It's amazing. And just how you got into contributing. I did kind of the different side of things. It wasn't like official contributions, but it was educating, consulting, writing, being more of a teacher, trainer in WordPress all those years. So we both went on similar paths. We've been privileged, but in the sense of we went through some very rough times in our business and stuff and some really tense times. And yeah, you have more empathy. I feel like I have it because I'm always thinking of the other person and how they feel versus just what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And you mentioned something about this empathy part, but also caring a lot about other people. When I had some rough times, I mentioned I went from a toxic marriage and to be a single parent and fighting for the rights of my children, etc. And I'm very vocal about my history. And sometimes I was so hard struggling with my mental health and also all the stuff going on in my life. But as I mentioned, WordPress and the community is always some of the stable pillar in my life. And I have spoken about that already. I shared it in some talks on a WordCamp. WordPress literally saved my life. At some point in my life where maybe I set a trigger warning. I had some moments in my life where I was questioning if it's worthwhile to stay alive. And then I just vented it out and spoke to someone. And I reached out to someone and they immediately jumped in and supported me. And that is a moment in my life where I'm always tearing up when I'm sharing that. Is even if the darkest moments, when you have the courage to reach out to someone, even if it's a stranger on the internet, you may have built on a relationship over the internet. But so many people of this community jumped in supporting me. The recent example was collecting funds that I can afford to travel to WordCamp Europe in Turin this year. The WordPress community has my back all the time when I reach out and be vocal about and share my vulnerability. So to be vulnerable is not a bad thing. So as long as we turn our vulnerability into something which can grow on and build upon and creating more empathy also for someone else who may have a similar struggle, inspires. I learned about that my crowdfunding campaign this year to go to WordCamp Europe inspired someone to take action in another similar direction and also see their initiatives like the WP Community Collective. They got inspired by the crowdfunding campaign to fund contributors to travel to WordCamps. We have great initiatives which are supporting speakers to travel to WordCamps. But someone who is contributing to WordPress and doesn't have maybe do several facts, not the ability to afford to travel, but to be accepted as a speaker on a WordCamp. So, and that is something I learned about. Even if I shared my vulnerability, not in the aim to earn empathy, but just to share, hey, here, I feel this like now. So if someone has something to spare, I'm really appreciated of this. But thinking about in a... looking back to that, how much this might have affected positively someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So in the retrospective, everything I touched in my life had somehow affected someone else's life. And that is how I always also try to be alert of everything I do, how someone else's life maybe get influenced by that. I'm not forcing that, but I try to consider every decision I make, does this affect someone else negatively? So, and that is what you say about empathy.
Yeah, exactly. Let's step back and put ourselves in this person's shoe or this from this person's view or whatever, because, you know, a lot of times what's being said or what's being told, we've all been there. And then that's the thing a lot of people lose, is you lose the ability to go back and say, oh, I remember when I was in that spot. Like you said, traveling. Between costs of just traveling, especially if you're traveling internationally, you're taking a day or two on each end just to get there. And then you've got the actual event and you're away for a week. So not only are you spending money, for a lot of these people, they're not making money during that time. They don't have the luxury of having being given the time off for something. They have to close down shop and do that thing, even though that may be productive and helpful to their business.
Exactly. And thinking of traveling, especially for someone with mobility issues, I need to plan ahead every move up because working distances is still kind of challenging, even if I now have 2 hip replacements. Mechanically, I can walk, but my body isn't used yet to this kind of movement. So it takes a while to get on board again. As someone with neurodivergent traits, I like to know where I'm going and which kind of maybe obstacles I can face and how do I get from A to B in a most effective way so it doesn't drain my energy too much. So I can be alert when I'm there. But it's still also overwhelming meeting new people and a lot of people like WordCamp Europe or WordCamp US or WordCamp Asia. These are the flagship events with 2,000, 3,000 attendees someday. So, and also traveling abroad internationally, it's always challenging to body, even if someone is healthy and fit.
I was just going to say, it's
draining.
Yeah, it's brutal is what it is.
Yeah. So thinking of someone who has more mobility issues or someone who has more weight on their bones as someone else, like finding a good safe spot to sit. Like I experienced in Turin, some chairs with very unfortunate position of armrests and so on, which my butt didn't fit in really well. It's kind of difficult to sit down. So, but on the other hand, I can't assume that everyone can acknowledge that in beforehand. But I can share my experience. For instance, I tend to speak to WordCamp organizers, especially WordCamp Europe and WordCamp US, to make sure that there are enough seating position also in the hallways so that people who might need to take a rest, especially for someone, we are barely out of the pandemic. And the pandemic showed up that someone who was infected with this viral infection can suffer from syndromes like chronic fatigue. So you don't see that when someone is challenged with chronic fatigue syndrome. So you have to take a rest because you are going out of breath when you are walking 20 meters or 30 meters. So you may need to take a rest. And so to make sure that the WordCamp event or the WordPress event venue accommodate the situation, not only that we need accessible restrooms and hopefully the cleaning staff doesn't put any cleaning supplies within the accessible restrooms so that someone with a wheelchair can't navigate in that. Like, that is also an example. When you see something where you see, okay, this might affect someone else, going back to the empathy part. If you see something, maybe the instance I experienced in WordCamp Europe on the first conference day, and I went to the restroom. As someone with mobility issues, I prefer accessible restrooms because they're, for me, more convenient to use. Even if I don't have a wheelchair, but not having a wheelchair is not an excuse not to use accessible restrooms for everyone. Who want to judge why someone is using an accessible restroom, even if they can walk, they may have other reasons to use an accessible restroom, just to ignore. But I imagine, I witnessed that the cleaning staff should have their carts with all the cleaning supply. And if someone with a wheelchair would have access to the room, they wouldn't have any chance to navigate through that because washing thing was blocked to that. So, and I reported that immediately to the organizing team. And they went to the venue facility manager and it was solved the next day because it was the end of the event. But yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking those wet floor signs that they put out too could be a real issue because they have to try to put it somewhere where you can see it, but that could be right in the way too.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that is something when you see, and that is why I urge everyone to first use a common sense. Then ask yourself, does this affect someone else's maybe negatively? So I can't expect that everyone knows everything. But if you have someone in your family or friend surroundings who may have faced some issues, try to be advocating for their convenience, if possible. We can't please everyone, to be fair. So we can do as much as possible, even if we can't accommodate everything and include everyone in everything, but to be in a balance and make it. Because there's a saying, talking about also WordPress websites, having accessible WordPress websites, it's not only benefiting those who need that, it benefits everyone. Accessibility benefits everyone. So, and that is also for venues, traveling, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been great because this has not only been learning about everything you do or have done, and then how you got into your passion around what you're doing on this show, but also a conversation about it. So it just very nice rounded chat we had, and we can see why you do this once a month on here at Do the Woo. So this is very cool. And I appreciate being able to turn the table. And I think everybody likes to learn a little bit more about our hosts. And I'm just going to throw this out because it's a little bit of an opportunity because I haven't had a chance to talk about it regarding our new site. So for those of you that, you know, listen to various shows, we do have a way now. We have our sponsors, which I adore, and they make this whole thing possible. But there is another way of giving back to this show, and that is supporting each specific show. And what that means is you can go in and you can give a one-time gift, or you can subscribe for a couple different amounts. But that money actually will go to the hosts of the show. It doesn't go into running the show or anything. And as Birgit mentioned, she's been lucky to have the support of the community. And that's what this is going to be. It will either help the hosts themselves on their contributions, the time they spend on that, their travel. And for some of our hosts, maybe they don't feel they need that because of their position and where they are at this time in their life. And they'll say, hey, let's give it to one of these related WordPress organizations that do help speakers and contributor travels. So if you've been listening to a show and you're really getting into it and you want to give something back to that show's hosts, we'll pull that together, figure out what to do with it, and you're actually supporting them because they're driving all the shows and they're doing all the front face work and stuff. And I'm just the grunt behind the scenes doing all the other stuff, except occasionally I come in and have the opportunity to do great interviews and chats with my friends like this. So I appreciate it. And yeah, this has been absolutely wonderful. Anything you want to say before we sign off?
Yeah. On the first hand, I really want to thank you again, Bob, first to create this kind of great show and place to learn, but also offering the spot for people like me to talk about topics we care about a lot, but also giving someone else a voice where they can share also their story and learnings so that everyone can benefit of that. And I'm also very appreciative about all the work you are doing in the back end, which is not seen by everyone. So a special shout out again to you. But for the listeners, I want to say, if you want to go and make a difference, there are several ways where you can join the WordPress community, and you don't need to know how to code. There are certain areas where you contribute to your time and knowledge. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me. I'm Coach Birgit on all the socials, on the Make WordPress Slack. And also you can reach out to Bob there. If you have any questions, we're really happy to guide you into the right direction where you can contribute your passion to the project.
Well, thank you. And thank everyone for listening. If you're not subscribed, you can subscribe to the old channel, or you can just subscribe to your favorite show. And we are trying to push more people back to commenting. This is my own little mission. Would love for you to come in on the post and comment and share your thoughts on anything we talked about. And of course, Birgit's always looking for wonderful guests that want to come in and talk around the issue of DEIB. So please consider that as well. And my final thank you to Birgit for being a wonderful guest.
Thank you for being a wonderful host today on the turntables.